Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. Welcome to the program. The number, if you want to join the show, 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. You can bring up absolutely anything you want to discuss. And you can join us online, of course, anytime you want. Lots of features available on the site. Over at freetalklive.com, unlike a lot of the talk show hosts out there, we don't charge you for archives and chat rooms and things like that. So head on over there at freetalklive.com. It's Ian and Chris here to start things out. Nobody should be joining us shortly. I believe he's trying to get a parking space as we speak.
Good luck.
Got some snow here in recent nights. Then I've kind of a light snow winter so far here in New Hampshire. Speaking of New Hampshire, Chris, you and I spent a fair amount of time over at the State House testifying on bills and things like that.
For sure.
I haven't spent as much time there in recent years, what with all the other things that vying for my attention with the Crypto 6 situation. But I was able to get out there, and you've been able to get out there as well. This week they did vote on a couple of interesting bills, probably more than a couple, but I just don't know what they all are. But two that that I highlighted over at freekeen.com, one of them, I would say a historic bill. It didn't pass, but what it would do would be to abolish the entire war on drugs. This was put forward. It kind of just came out of nowhere. There wasn't really any kind of fanfare around it. State Rep Matt Santanastasso, who's kind of a friend of the show here on Free Talk Live, as we like to call him, the nightcap rep. Because he came out to our nightcap parties that we did during the so-called lockdowns, or the, as they called it in New Hampshire, stay-at-home 2.0. And so he came out there and, you know, hung out with us as we were violating the governor's orders, quote-unquote orders. Anyway, good guy, 100% score on the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance grading, you know, report card that they do every year for the state representatives. No one scored higher than him last year, so, like,
really?
He is the top. Yeah, I don't believe there's any other 100%. I think it was unusual, because normally there's like two or three of them that get 100%.
I guess I shouldn't be too surprised given he hangs out with us, but
yeah. And nobody is here now. Welcome, nobody.
Nobody's here.
So we were just kind of getting into what happened at the State House this week with the bill to end the entire war on drugs. This wasn't some weak-ass decrim bill that was just kind of going to nibble around the edges on marijuana or psilocybin. And those bills are in. I mean, there's other people who've introduced bills like that.
Slabbling right in the middle.
But finally, the whole thing. You know, going to take the whole thing down.
That's a big nibble.
This would literally strike from the New Hampshire statutes the entirety of Section 318B, which is the Controlled Drug Act.
Nice.
So if this were to have passed, and it didn't, and you don't expect things to pass the first time out. But if this were to have passed, it would have eliminated drug prohibition in New Hampshire overnight.
Nice.
And that would mean that, you know,
not in New Hampshire, but by New Hampshire. The feds would still be coming in and doing what they want to do.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that, obviously,
but hey, if they want to do stupid stuff, let them pay for it.
Yeah, you know, though, that may be true, but the feds tend to go after larger, more specific targets with more resources. Whereas,
yeah, like
state,
a guy with 1 pound.
Well, that you are a political target. That's a little bit of a different story there. But the point that I'm trying to make is simply that in terms of the number of people in prisons, there's way more people in prison at the state level than there is at the federal level.
True.
So,
yeah. So the good news on
it
this
would be a huge improvement.
Yeah, massive.
It would be. And you know what? I figure for the first time out, considering this bill literally had no fanfare, there was, as far as I know, zero media coverage of this particular bill. You would think that a bill that proposed to eliminate the war on drugs would have at least gotten some kind of media coverage from, I don't know, the drug decrim movement or whatever. Like, there's a large movement of people that want to legalize drugs out there. I have no idea. I don't think it got any kind of coverage.
The prostitutes are too lazy to come out of their brothels.
Maybe so. I mean, it was a shame because a lot of times, like, even a decrim bill is going to get coverage in, like, let's say from cannabis culture or something like that. I mean, I'm not naming any names here saying, oh, they did a bad job. But the fact is, it's probably more on us for not really putting it out there effectively. We didn't have any kind of, there was essentially no network of activism behind this bill.
Yeah, sadly. Yeah. One of the things you definitely need to do if you want to get people to come out to stuff is you got to let them know. People don't pay attention. I mean, there's a lot of bills that get proposed, and most of us aren't going through every one of them and taking a look to see what might be of interest. I'll tend to go to stuff that I hear about, but you know, there's a lot of other good stuff in there, and I first of all, I wouldn't have time to make every bill anyway, but you know, it's one of these things where, you know, people don't know about it, you know, they're not going to talk about it, they're not going to write about it, they're not even going to know about it.
Yeah, we're forever covering things on the show that it's like, oh, I wish I'd known that was happening this week, I would have been there.
Yeah, I don't know how to, you know, solve that particular issue, given that so many people spend so much time on social media. It's not like people aren't connected with one another. But at the same time, maybe
the algorithms are not kind to us.
Well, I mean, you know, there are things that there are some things you can do. You can ping people directly. You can send emails to people. Like, for example, if you want the media, if you want some sort of drug paper or I guess magazine to cover something, you might want to let them know that it's happening, right? So sending a message to, you know, a reporter there or something like that, or the whoever it is, it probably would have helped. But again, it's, you know, there's a lot of bills here in New Hampshire that are good bills that, you know, I certainly haven't had time to get to all of them. I think I got to a couple of them this year thus far.
And you really can't expect the state reps themselves to do any of that footwork because they're busy enough just trying to, you know, tread water and figure out what to vote on and what not to vote on. So, I mean, I think, you know, we can accept some responsibility as the activists here for not getting the word out effectively enough about this. But that said, even with no fanfare, no media attention. I mean, this was so low impact as far as, you know, people paying attention that the status didn't even bother testifying against it. The guy from the state police was in the room, but all he did was he just signed the blue paper that said he opposed it. He didn't even bother to speak to this.
I mean, the reps have already heard everything he's going to say anyway, probably.
Well, but yeah, he spoke on other things that day, so he didn't speak to this one. And that probably just says that they really, you know, they didn't think it had any chance of passing.
Right.
And it, probably, of course, it didn't. It didn't. But it did get 70 votes out of a house full of 400 reps. Now, of course, not all 400 were there. For the vote, it was 286 to 70. So there's, you know, 40 or 50 reps that weren't in the hall.
You know, the more curious thing about that vote, I think you actually have brought it up already, well, not on the show yet, but is the fact that we didn't have more reps voting for it.
Yeah, that was a sad part about this.
Yeah, and I'm kind of curious as to what their reason, you know, what would be, what is their explanation as to why they didn't vote? Did they just not realize it was a good bill? Did they, you know, like, what exactly happened?
Yeah.
Was it mostly Democrats or Republicans that voted
split
for it?
Evenly. It was actually 35-35. 35 Democrats, 35 Republicans voted to kill the war on drugs. Nice. So I was really happy to see that. That
happened to a nicer war.
Yeah, that shows that it is a bipartisan issue, clearly. And I'm encouraged by this because even though it's quote unquote only 70, you would need 201 roughly to get this thing to pass. And, you know, if all 400 state reps were there. So, I mean, we're not quite halfway there, but we're getting there. I mean, 70 is a good starting point, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot more than you get in most states.
Well, this bill would never even it would never even get out of a committee if you could even find someone to sponsor a bill like this in any state. It would never make it to a floor vote like this. And thankfully, we do have, you know, the kind of people on the House floor who are going to call for things like a roll call vote. So we have every single state rep on the record. We know who voted for this and we know who voted against it. And there's a shocking number of so-called A-plus rated reps who voted against this bill.
Really?
And it's too bad. You know, and I suspect the answer to your question, Chris, would be that they would say that they didn't have the quote-unquote political capital because some of these guys
I've heard that before.
Yeah, some of these guys are up there playing politics, and they're trying to scratch other people's backs, and, you know, they don't want to upset somebody, and turning off the war on drugs would anger the police, and that would anger the Republican establishment or whatever. So that's probably what was going on. That's just my guess, but that would be a question to ask some of these people. Let's go to the phones here. We got Ricky on the line in Pennsylvania. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Ricky.
Thank you there, Brother Ian.
Yes,
good evening, Brother Chris. Well, you know, I gave a lot of thought.
Nobody's here.
I guess I'm nobody.
Hey, Brother Chris.
There's nobody
here
as well.
That's funny.
There's three
hosts.
There's three hosts in the studio.
Well, who else is there? I'm sorry.
Nobody's here.
Okay, well, if you want to remain anonymous, that is your choice.
Nobody can blame me.
All right. Cool.
Ricky, that's actually his name.
Yeah, I legally changed my name to Nobody when I was running for governor, but what's on your mind?
Well, I mean, this is something that I did want to discuss, and I'm glad Ian's on. I was debating if I was going
to. Do you listen to the show, Ricky? I'm just curious. Are you one of those guys that just calls in?
I haven't yet, but I'm going to call you up one night and get that number.
You haven't ever listened to this show?
I have, but
not
for
5 years.
He's
listening to us now.
Not for 5 years. Okay.
Right. Okay.
So you just decided you were going to just start calling again, and you only listen when you're on hold, basically, right?
Basically. Okay. But that's what's interesting about this.
Is it?
Now, since it came up last night, I decided I'm going to talk about this. After the disaster that did happen, at the end, I didn't even realize it because Ari was still doing talking. And then I heard the outro music come on. I was like, what the hell is going on here? You know? And then the next thing I hear is I hear Bonnie talking to Aria, talking about how they use my first name, Ricky, how Ricky is becoming an annoying caller. Now, I'm like, what the hell did I do? I've had very little exposure to both of them, no less than together. You know, I think I only.
That's surprising.
Once.
Usually they say, oh, Ricky, he's so fine. He's so fine, he blows my mind.
Yeah, I mean, but here's the thing. And you know what's funny about it? The irony about this whole thing, because after that, they started to discuss the stuff I was trying to bring up. Not with me involved, no. I had nothing to do with it, but they were just discussing it, you know? So
well, not everybody's going to like everybody else, Ricky. I mean, you're never going to rub everybody the right way. That's just the reality of life. So what are you going
to
do?
Well, I'm worried. I mean,
you'd have to have more rubbing hands.
Should I give Ari another shot if she's hosting again?
It's up to you, Ricky. I can't tell you what to do.
Okay, well, I'll do that then. All right, but if I may talk a little, can I talk a little about my topic?
What is your topic?
The Norfolk Southern Railroad disaster.
Okay, this is in East Palestine, I believe they say, in Ohio. This was where the train derailed. There was some nasty chemicals involved that they then proceeded to, was already apparently on fire. They then proceeded to explode them, I believe, and caused a bit of a nasty cloud of chemicals rising into the air and then ultimately apparently into the creeks and rivers and farmlands.
What's interesting about this is it happened right on the line by PA and Ohio.
Mm.
And what's interesting about that is, like a week or so ago, the EPA came out, and they said, you know what, you have human rights violations, you have safety violations, all this other stuff, you're going to pay everything. And Norfolk Southern said nothing, but something interesting happened. And this is why it's pertinent. On this past Tuesday, Governor Shapiro, our governor, who's just new governor this year, just came in January, who was previously attorney general, what he did is he gave a criminal referral to the attorney general of Pennsylvania. And by Wednesday afternoon, I listened to these people, and here comes Norfolk Southern Railroad. Oh, you know what? We admit it. Yeah, we're behind times in our safety regulations, and we're going to pay every penny and all this other stuff, you know?
Mm.
And I thought that was really something, you know? I'm just glad.
Pay every penny to the government, though. It's not going to do anything to the poor bastards who are going to lose their livelihoods because their farmland just got ruined.
Worse.
Huh?
Well, what happened is this has got much worse because there's people that have their property destroyed. I heard one guy talking. He says, I'm just going to sell my house. I'm screwed.
Good luck selling it.
Yeah.
I mean, who's going to buy? Who's going to want to buy a house in East Palestine right now?
The insurance companies. They're going to be buying a lot of houses.
You think so? Wouldn't act of God essentially...
Does God drive trains?
Yeah, I wonder if insurance would cover this.
Yeah, I don't think
it's an act of
I think
God.
They would have a very hard time calling it an act of
God. Yeah, an act of God. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I
well,
guess.
Well, the one thing I think that really is needed, because I'm, you know, there's way too many of these damn investigations going on at the federal level and stuff. Now, they already did a preliminary investigation, but this company's all bad. I mean, the one thing that they were noted for doing is spending a lot of money in Ohio and then the areas surrounding it on politicians, for one thing, to get rid of federal regulations. Now, the interesting thing is Trump's name came up, because that's exactly what he did. He removed
regulations. Federal regulations didn't do anything to prevent this, and the rail industry is highly regulated.
Actually, it may have, Ian, because what actually happened to this train is the wheel bearings in the train reached a very high temperature. There was 100 or so degrees above what would consider a safe level. That's why the thing caught on fire. And then the staff was cut down in half. You know, now there's big questions of what happened. Why
well, there's something like 1,800 train derailments every year in the United States, according to what I've read. And so this isn't unusual. These things happen all the time. And
maybe
you know, that's despite the fact that there's federal regulations in place.
Well, I mean, when it came down, they removed and they weren't following any of this.
Apparently,
stuff,
there's not enough for Ricky. He thinks that more laws is somehow going to solve these problems. Thanks for the call tonight, Ricky. I appreciate it. The number here is 603-283-6160. I mean, we've discussed it before. The fact is, regulations are essentially just protectionism for people who are in an existing business. A lot of times, they're written by the very people that they are purporting to regulate.
We've got a million laws, and we needed a million and one.
Mm-hmm. You know what it does? What regulation usually does is it's intended to stifle the competition.
Right.
So you end up with – you may not end up with a monopoly or even a duopoly, but whoever the industry established players are after a new industry begins. In the early days, they don't want the regulation because it'll stifle themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But down the road, they start to actually push for regulation because it will keep out – other competitors that want to enter their market right. that they've established.
New innovators, people that might bring some fresh ideas to the table or possibly completely change the face of the industry. Of course, a great example is Uber and Lyft, or these companies that by no means am I a big fan of, but they certainly did bring some innovation to the business of moving people from place to place.
I'm still waiting for the truly decentralized Uber Lyft.
Yeah, there was
a good name for it called Uber Lyft.
There was a proposal years ago by a free stater who subsequently ended up leaving New Hampshire, and I think he's still working on it. I don't know if it's decentralized or anything like that. I know Cell 411 used to have an option for rideshare that was removed, I believe, from any upcoming versions, so it just never really took off, unfortunately, and maybe someday that can come back.
I wouldn't say any upcoming versions. It's not in there now.
That's what I mean, the upcoming ones.
But,
the ones that are imminent,
yeah,
I guess, is what I mean.
The most imminent ones, but...
it could come back at some point.
I'm hoping that eventually we'll end up with an architecture that has... like an infrastructure with a number of different apps running on it.
That would be
hopefully
really cool.
One day.
And I think we're going to have some news about Cell 411 coming sooner rather than later. You've kind of changed your development, I don't know if you want to call it, approach or whatever in this
Yeah,
case.
I would say it's a different approach.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to try to get... more frequent, smaller releases out instead of, waiting for the big one.
Yeah. All right. That makes sense. And we'll keep our listeners up to date on that. For those that don't know, Cell 411 is an emergency alerts app. Whether it's actually available right now or not, I don't know, because apparently Google wants us to jump through some stupid hoops. We have to fill out paperwork, and we filled the paperwork out yesterday, and they rejected it, and so
of course
now we got to fill it out again or appeal the decision. So there's bureaucratic hoop jumping going on, but now that it's an open source project, we should be able to get it on F-Droid.
Yeah, I was just about to say, I mean, have you looked at F-Droid? Because I might even just skip over Google. It's like, if people want to install the app, go for it, but tell them it's on F-Droid instead of on Google Play. I mean, it's not like it's hard to install Google Play. I mean, F-Droid.
Yeah, what we've got on Google is installed base, but basically anything they do that causes us to lose that installed base, and you know the new version, the Cadillac, which is still waiting in the wings, the much newer version, it's completely de-Googled.
I wonder if that's why they're trying to keep it out.
Well, they won't know about that.
About the de-Google part?
I don't think they would know that.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Amazon probably knows what I'm up to. They own some of the servers I work on.
In other news, here in New Hampshire, so we mentioned the 70 state reps that voted to end the entire war on drugs. Unfortunately, we would have needed 201 of them. So, again, that one's not going to happen quite yet, but I bet you we're going to take another crack at that in a couple more years. Essentially, you can only do one bill that of the exact same wording is, and I don't know if it's the same subject or the same wording or what the rules are on that, but essentially because this bill was introduced this year, it can't come in again next year. It has to wait until the next session, which would be a couple of years from now. But I suspect this is going to come back again because this is what we need. We need these principled pieces of legislation to get a conversation started. And, you know, find out who's already on board with this. Now we have a list of 70 state reps that said, yeah, let's end the entire war on drugs. We'll figure out the details later. Slash that that law off the books.
Yeah.
So I think it's great news.
Yeah, I mean, one thing I can say is we're not lacking in good bills. We definitely have some pretty solid bills that have been proposed this year. So
there was another one that came up today. Or, I'm sorry, yesterday. Jason Gerhard, who is a brand new state rep, he's fresh out of federal prison. He spent 12 years behind bars for standing up with the Brown family, Ed and Elaine Brown, back in 2006. These were tax freedom advocates who were targeted by the IRS, targeted by the federal government. They kind of holed up in their house for several months. I feel like it was 6 to 9 months before the feds finally sent in.
A long time. Shockingly.
Yeah, they sent in an undercover agent dressed as a pizza dude. And that's how they ended up arresting them. But Jason Gerhard was there on the property as well. He had come in from New York and was just kind of there helping him and backing him up. And of course, they rounded him up and charged him with a bunch of victimless crimes. That's why he sent.
My first visit to New Hampshire was Porkfest, the year that was going on.
Oh, yeah.
And it was so strange because I was chilling with this gay prostitute from San Francisco named Starchild.
Yep.
And we're hanging out with all these crazy right-wing guys. And it's just like, nobody cares. We all just want to be free.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. So he filed a bill. He's not done with the IRS, even though he spent 12 years in prison. He was going after the IRS with this bill, and we'll tell you what it was supposed to do coming up here. It's Free Talk Live.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
U.S. USA News Update. The trial of Alex Murdaugh is adjourned until Monday morning. Murdaugh admits he lied to police, stole money from clients, and was addicted to drugs, but insists he didn't kill his wife, Maggie, and son, Paul. He blamed most of his actions on his drug addiction. Former Vice President Mike Pence marked the one-year anniversary of the Russian invasion of Ukraine with a speech at the Clements Center for National Security at the University of Texas. Pence says the resolve shown by the people of Ukraine is a source of hope.
I am more convinced than ever that the day will come when peace is restored to a free and independent Ukraine.
Pence went on to point out that the crisis has united many countries of the world with the support for the people of Ukraine, and Ukraine will win this conflict. Spring training games begin today in Arizona. Games get underway in earnest tomorrow in both Arizona and Florida. Dave Collins, USA News.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau d'Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. You can join the show here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. You can join us online. Just head over to freetalklive.com and enjoy the features that we have there. Once again, that's freetalklive.com. If you appreciate the work that we do here, then you can back us up as one of our supporters, the AMPS program, like Alex Weed has done, who's a platinum-level supporter of Free Talk Live. Thank you, Alex, for that. We definitely appreciate the support. We only ask for $5 a month. Alex is doing 25, so thank you for going above and beyond. But if you want to help us advertise, market, promote, and support Free Talk Live, you can go to amps.freetalklive.com. You can get signed up there, and it is our Patreon. You can use your debit card, credit card, your PayPal account. It makes a big difference for us because right now we're counting on direct listener support. We have no actual paid advertisements on this show at this time, and I'd be fine if we never did again, if we can get enough people to back us up. So thank you to Alex for doing that at amps.freetalklive.com. That's amps.freetalklive.com. We're talking about some of the interesting bills that either did or did not end up getting passed here in New Hampshire this year. Some of them have, but I'm focusing on a couple that the full House hearings just happened recently. And the way it works here in New Hampshire, one of the reasons why New Hampshire was chosen as the destination for the Free State Project is that the legislature here is particularly accessible. These are individuals who, they're not professional attorneys. They're not, you know, most of them. They're just average people. There's 400 state representatives. There's $100 a year that they get paid, plus a gas stipend, to do this job. So it's basically a it's everything but a volunteer position.
Enough gas to drive across New Hampshire ain't much.
No, it's not. And so, anyway, these guys are not professional legislators. These are, a lot of these people, are, some of them are retired, probably the bulk of them. There's a lot of white hairs in there. But a lot of them are business owners or retired business owners. Some of them are actually young, maybe still in college, that kind of thing. But they're there to actually do something they think is going to help. Right, whether we agree with what they're doing or not, they're really not there as like professionals who are going to make a career out of this, because you can't.
Yeah,
there's no money in it.
400 reps for a state with only 1.3 million people.
Yeah.
That's a lot of reps. That's the most in the nation, I believe.
It is, and they, I believe, are the lowest paid in the whole country as
really? Well.
I think so. I know New Mexico pays pretty low as well, because there is also a part-time legislature there, but I think it's still a little higher than New Hampshire's pay. So these guys are particularly accessible. You can call them up. You can talk to them on the phone. Like, they don't have a secretary. There's not a gatekeeper who is standing between you and them. You can actually have a conversation with these people and possibly change their opinion about something.
When you said they don't have a secretary, it reminded me in the tone of the old, I think it was Chris Farley thing. I don't have a toothbrush.
I don't know if I've seen that one.
Oh, old Saturday Night Live.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So anyway, the way it works here is every bill that gets submitted gets a public hearing. That's just the rule in New Hampshire. I hope that never gets changed, because it's really good, meaning that there's not a political approval process for bills that get submitted. There's no way that some higher up in the Democrat or Republican Party can stop a bill from moving forward. Mm-hmm. It's going to get a vote. It's going to get a public hearing. You're going to have a chance to be heard about this, whether they take you seriously or not, whether they take the bill seriously or not. Obviously, it's up to them. But any bill that gets put forward, no matter how Looney Tunes it might appear, there's going to be a public hearing for it. And that's the reason why we were able to get a public hearing on independence last year. And that's the reason why there was a public hearing on ending the entire war on drugs this year, even though only Bonnie and I showed up.
I could definitely attest to there being some crazy bills that get proposed that will never pass.
Yeah, that's okay.
Dick Marple, I was at one bill. I don't even remember what the bill was, but he didn't even show up to his own bill. It was pretty funny, but it was a good. I mean, it was actually kind of a good bill. I remember. It just didn't have a chance of passing.
Well, they have crazy bills everywhere, though. I remember in Ohio years ago reading about they were going to have to tear down a bridge and rebuild it because people wanted to pass taller ships under it. And one of the reps there proposed dredging the river.
Oh, wow.
To lower
Doesn't
the
work
river
that
water
way.
So they didn't have to replace the bridge.
So
that's not how physics works, in case you're, you know, unaware.
Yeah, unusual bills in a lot of places are just going to get shut down. Like in Texas, where the state reps, or one state rep, put forward a bill that would have allowed the people to, it was like a really weak kind of secession bill. It would have allowed like the state reps to kind of investigate, considering, beginning to look at, thinking about seceding, right? Like, it wasn't an actual vote on secession or independence, which is what New Hampshire's bill would have allowed if it had passed. But this bill didn't even make it out of committee, right? Like, it didn't get a full House vote. It just got killed. There was never even a public hearing for the bill in Texas. In New Hampshire, there was a public hearing. We packed. This was a good turnout. Like, well, the word got out about the secession bill.
The independence,
and, yeah.
The independence. That was amazing. I've never seen a room as packed as that one, other than I think maybe one time there was a lead bill for, like, you know, think of the children kind of bill. But other than that,
the marijuana bills will routinely pack a room. I mean, there's certain types of bills. Gun bills will pack a
I'm
room.
I'm sure. I just haven't seen it. Yeah.
I
wouldn't go generally to a gun bill or, you know, that kind of a bill, because that's going to pass. I mean, that's going to be it's going to be in favor of guns. So in New Hampshire, so I don't
generally, but that's because there's a ton of people that come out,
right?
And they literally have to move that to the full reps hall because so many people tend to come out to those things. So anyway, my point is that this is a particularly accessible legislature. Every bill that gets proposed gets a public hearing. Every bill can go to the House floor, and all it takes is a certain number of reps. Now, this is one negative thing that's happened this year, is they increased the number of reps from 1 to 10 to pull a bill off of what they call a consent calendar and force it onto the House floor for a full vote by the State House. So it used to just be one rep that was able to do this. And so for listeners that don't know, consent calendar is where the so every bill gets this committee hearing. The committee decides, they vote on the bill. Let's say it's like almost unanimous. Kill the bill. So they put it on the consent calendar because the idea is if the committee feels the same, like if all the Republicans and Democrats on the committee feel the same way on a bill to kill the thing, there's almost no chance it's going to pass the House. So the idea is you put it on the consent calendar, and that just means we're going to add a bunch of bills to this one sheet, and then we're going to vote on it all at once. So there might be 20 or 30 bills or whatever that are on the consent calendar for one hearing, and when that comes up, unless some rep pulls a bill off the consent calendar for a full floor debate, all of those bills either get passed or not passed all in one fell swoop. So it's for efficiency. That way they don't have to have a debate on every single bill. But basically what happened with these two bills we're talking about tonight, the drug war, ending the drug war bill, and the IRS bill that we're about to tell you about, these were pulled from that consent calendar. So there had to be 10 reps instead of just one.
It's kind of amazing that there is no law so trivial that the police won't kill you over it, but there's lots of laws that are too trivial for the legislature to bother debating them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can understand why. Like, if there's such a terrible bill that it's just never going to go anywhere, you can understand why they wouldn't want to debate it. Well, that's the idea, is if it's worth having discussion, then the state rep should stand up and say, I want to have my bill debated here on the House floor.
I was thinking more like the other side of it, where the bill is so horrible, they have to pass it, and they have to pass it right now before somebody reads it. Like the $1.7 trillion spending package on the federal level.
I don't think you can do that in New Hampshire. I don't think you can just throw a bill
in. No, we couldn't get the credit.
Oh, they did for something, and they're not supposed to be able to do it.
No, they can have like an emergency session that they can call. They can call together, like the governor and the state house can call a special session of the state house to do some sort of emergency thing.
Do you guys remember they did something in the spending bill like last year where they added a bill or something to it?
Well, the spending bill has a lot of negotiations surrounding what's going to be in it and what's not going to be in it. So, yeah, there could have been some sort of last-minute changes to that. Okay. There may be some shenanigans with that, but generally those things aren't going without oversight. There's no like midnight,
okay, fair enough.
There's no midnight meetings in New Hampshire of state reps sneakily passing things. It just doesn't happen.
Now, they couldn't get anything to eat.
Indeed, the kitchen would be closed. So anyway, what I was telling you is one of the bad things that happened this year was the consent calendar to remove a bill from it used to just take one rep. So the same rep who put the bill forward could have very well been the rep that stands up and says, I demand a full vote, right? So they increased that to 10. And so what ended up happening was there was a group of state reps who normally would not get along with one another who formed like a caucus to say, we, these 10 reps, are going to stand up anytime somebody wants to take a bill off of the consent calendar. They all stand up together, Republicans and Democrats, who normally some of them don't get along. One of them is Horrible Horrigan, who hates free staters, but he's one of them because they value the idea of being able to pull something off the consent calendar. So the whole approach of trying to increase it from 1 to 10 basically fell flat because there's at least 10 who are always going to stand up anytime somebody wants it off the calendar.
That's great.
So I think that's a really cool thing to see that happen.
They call it, there's always that one guy caucus.
Yeah, exactly. So that's happened, and that's why Jason Gerhard was able to get his bill pulled off the consent calendar to...
Oh, nice.
This is the, I don't know if you call this a bill. It's a resolution. So, you know, like a bill normally becomes a law. This wouldn't become a law if it were to pass. This would just simply be the House of New Hampshire making a statement. We have a resolution and we resolve that blah, blah, blah. And so in this case, the resolution, and I'm not going to read the whole thing. It's actually relatively short, but usually these resolutions, they always have like a whereas, blah, 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 whereas, blah, blah, blah. It sort of like sets up the actual statement that they want to make. And so the whereas is in regards to the IRS, the Internal Revenue Service, the federal level. He wanted to ask the IRS four questions that he wants the IRS to answer. And, of course, the average person who sends the IRS these questions is not going to get an answer. They're just not going to answer your questions. So the idea that he had, I think, was let's make it so the state house is officially sending a communication to the IRS asking these questions that he's always wanted to get an answer to about taxes. And then maybe there's a chance that they're going to either answer it or reject the entire state legislature of New Hampshire.
More likely, the IRS is going to come and take their $100 back.
Could very well be.
Yeah.
So here's the four questions he wants to have asked. One, where is the word income defined in the Internal Revenue Code? Seems like a pretty important question. And they certainly insist that people have income. So what's it actually mean? Apparently, according to these folks, it's not actually defined. They don't actually have a definition. And normally when it comes to legalese, they're all about their definitions. They're all about taking English words and redefining them to mean different things. Second question, where in the Internal Revenue Code is it written that the average American who does not exercise a federal privilege but simply trades their time for money is liable to pay the federal income tax? Question three. Why have numerous IRS...
Reminding me of Aaron Russo.
Yeah.
The whole America Freedom to Fascism thing.
The old documentary film.
2008.
Yeah, where he had former IRS agents come out and speak publicly to say that, you know, this whole thing's a sham, essentially. Mm. Why have numerous IRS publications, directors, and members of the U.S. Congress, among others, stated that the income tax is voluntary? Again, would love to have that question answered. Because it certainly doesn't seem voluntary.
Is the prison, if you don't do it, voluntary also?
Yeah, I mean, I've got four charges that they convicted me of in a court 2 months ago that are quote-unquote tax evasion.
Mm-hmm.
So they're certainly not acting like it's voluntary, but yet they say in some of their publications that it is. Number four, the final question that he wanted to ask the IRS, that signed copies of this resolution be transmitted by the House clerk, I guess this isn't a question, to the Commissioner of the Internal Revenue, to the U.S. Secretary of the Treasury, and to each member of the New Hampshire congressional delegation. So that's what this would have done. This did not pass, but 60 of the state reps voted for it. And even a few Democrats actually voted for this.
That's not bad. I mean, it comes off as kind of crazy, you know. And for something that comes off as kind of crazy, you kind of would expect to
get
see,
that many people.
Yeah, you wouldn't expect to see that number of people voting in favor of it.
Well, I mean, when you think about it, though, our idea of what's crazy is crazy. You know, they're throwing people in prison for smoking weed.
Yeah.
And that doesn't even seem crazy because they've been doing it a long time.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
to most people, it doesn't seem crazy.
Yeah, I mean, there are crazy people out there, but not every person who, say, objects to taxes is crazy.
This looks like it's a perfectly good defense of the neighbors out barking at the moon. It's like, oh, yeah, he's been doing that for years.
So I just, you know, those were a couple things that happened in the last couple days. If you want to see the full video footage of the State House discussing these things, they're not particularly lengthy. Like, there wasn't a bunch of argumentation or anything on this. It's just, you know, Jason Gerhard gets up and makes his points, and then some statist gets up and says, oh, well, yeah, but they passed the 16th Amendment, so the IRS is completely legitimate, and we should just not, you know, we need to butt out, essentially. And unfortunately, the House went along with that guy, at least so far. So this is one of the reasons why we need more freedom-loving people to come here to New Hampshire, to get active in the community, to run for office, and try to change the tide on this.
What was your favorite thing in that hearing?
I think you, yeah, I don't know, House debate, House floor discussion.
Yeah, house floor discussion. What was your favorite part? What, did you guys have a favorite part? I had a favorite part.
Well, I'm guessing your favorite part was where Jason said taxation is theft to the fat lady that hates Free Staters.
Oh, yeah.
Did she sing?
Did she what?
Did she sing?
No, they won.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well,
but
we're waiting for her to sing.
No, there's a woman who spoke, and I might just be able to pull that section of this up. There's a woman who spoke at the anti-Free State rally that happened here in Keene. She's a very heavy-set person. I don't know
in
what...
In Soviet America, government protests, too.
Yeah. Well, in an America, you know, you don't get this happening anywhere else outside of New Hampshire. In New Hampshire, people protest the Free Staters and the Libertarians here because we actually are making a difference. You know, they're not doing anti-Libertarian protests anywhere else except for New Hampshire.
I mean, what would be the point?
I mean, some of the libertarian protests are anti-other libertarians, but other than that, no.
Yeah, yeah. So this lady gets up, and she speaks against this, I presume. Let me see. She's going to ask a question. So after Gerhard gives his speech about why people should support this bill, this lady gets up.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you so much for taking my question. Are you aware that under the Republican president, former General Eisenhower, the marginal tax rate in this country was 92%?
I would argue that taxation is theft.
That's so great.
I mean, can you imagine doing that in court? Yeah, you've been brought here, you're accused of theft. Well, I used to steal more. I'm trying to cut down.
I mean, I think this is a perfect representation of what it's like to be in New Hampshire. It's, you know, it's people like Jason Gerhard getting up there. Mm-hmm. These are our actual state reps saying that. Jason Gerhard.
And he wasn't the only one.
There's
a clip floating around today on social media showing, I believe, multiple state reps saying on the same day, taxation is theft.
I didn't know that was the same day. I thought that was cut from different videos.
Same day.
Interesting. Yeah. Wow. Wow. Yeah, I mean, it just makes it all the more impressive what we've accomplished in New Hampshire.
To hear somebody tell the truth when they're actually in office, it's like,
right?
Normally you have to wait to hear Rand Paul for that to happen.
Yeah, but not in New Hampshire. We hear this kind of stuff all the time, and it's just getting better every day.
I mean, has Rand Paul ever said taxation is theft at the federal level?
I'm sure he has. Whether he said it on camera, I don't know.
So here's the clip that the Free State Project is sharing, because apparently some statist, I don't know who he is, another state, again, there's 400 of these reps, another one got up and complained about what some of the state reps were saying regarding taxation as theft. So here's what he had to say.
It falls to us. It denigrates each and every one of us and the Constitution that we swore to protect when someone calls us thieves by saying that taxation is theft.
Maybe I should go to his house and try and sell him some insurance, and if he says no, tell him I'm going to burn his house down and see if he thinks that's theft.
That would be extortion, but yes. That's
that would be extortion, which is a form of theft.
So that's some guy complaining about it, and then there's a longer clip that shows multiple reps apparently saying taxation is theft. Here is another rep, Tom Mannion, another first-timer, I believe Free Stater, as well.
The Inflation Reduction Act added position.
That's really quiet, so probably not going to be able to play this one. But anyway, he did say it, and Alu is on the line. He posted, actually, this video, so good timing, Alu, from the Liberty Block at libertyblock.com. What's up?
I have been summoned. Made that clip of Tom Mannion and Jason Gerhard and the third person saying taxation is theft. Unfortunately, I was screen capturing and the volume was not high enough. I apologize, but next time I'll be louder. Yeah, so it was three of them. And by the way, the third one, in addition to Jason Gerhard and Tom Mannion, two more first-time Free Stater New Hampshire reps here, the third one was our friend Michael Moffitt, who we saw last year by CACR 32. He was the vice chair of the State Federal Relations Committee. And he was not supporting independence. He's a pretty middle-of-the-road Republican.
Yeah, I was going to say, wasn't he the guy who spoke against the Jason Gerhard's bill to send questions to the IRS?
I'm not sure. I didn't see that part, I don't think. But what's interesting is that he said taxation is theft apparently right after that Democrat cried about how they don't like being called thieves, even though it's true. and he was talking about the interesting bill that the CACR, a resolution that the Democrats were putting forward that failed, that would have called for D.C. statehood. Now, I probably more agree on that because they are taxed without being represented in Congress, really. But he mentioned representation and taxation. He was speaking against the bill. And he said, you know, they are taxed without being represented and taxation is theft. But still, I don't really agree with them being a state.
50 is such a nice round number. Then maybe we should work it out with D.C. that they can take our spot.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's do an exchange.
That way they can keep
saying that forever.
Right, keep the flag the same. They don't have to remove the star, and just it'd be an easy trade. But here's the thing with this guy that you mentioned. It just goes to show that some of these state reps who are saying taxation is theft at the same time don't actually have the principle to really understand what's coming out of their mouths. I mean, this Moffitt guy that you mentioned, I'm pretty sure he's the same guy that talked against Jason. He got up and defended the IRS in the statement. You can see the video. I put it up on freekeen.com. I'm not going to play the whole thing here, but I'm looking at the roll call here, and he didn't vote for it. He didn't vote to simply send three questions to the IRS about whether or not taxes are voluntary and the definition of income. So, you know, some of these guys, they're just pandering, I think, when they, I mean, it's fine. It's great that they're saying it. It certainly doesn't hurt to have more people saying taxation is theft. But at the same time, you know, he's voting to continue, you know, supporting the IRS.
Well, it's exactly. Better to have them pandering to the people who are right instead of the people who are wrong.
Exactly.
Sorry, what's that, Alder?
The people, the reps who are not libertarians, like Gerhard and Mannion, you expect, but you've had multiple people, Jenny Nodder, who has been a House floor leader and whip in the House, like a majority whip. These people who are pretty mainstream Republicans have set taxation as theft in the House. It's not even just the crazy libertarians. So, like, not only are we the only state where we have, you know, dozens of libertarians in the House saying it, we're such a libertarian state that even, like, the average Republicans, Moffitt, Nodder, a bunch of others, Kim Rice, in leadership, have said it.
Yeah, you know, I say this all the time that, you know, the state leans, you know, it's a lean libertarian before free staters moved to the state.
Sure, that's one of the reasons why I was chosen.
Right. So we're already at, we were ahead before
we just
want to
push it over.
Right.
It's already leaning.
Alu, since we've got you on the line, obviously you follow things at the State House pretty closely. Are there, I mean, we've highlighted a couple of really principled bills tonight that unfortunately didn't pass. Are there any success stories that, you know, you want to share with our listeners tonight that you've been keeping your eyes on so far?
I'm not keeping track of everything super well. I have a spreadsheet that's a little over 100 bills. Two decent ones have passed, but the other day the attendance was a big issue.
Yeah, when you say attendance, it's a pretty even split right now in the State House. So if only a handful of people don't show up, it could give the other side the advantage. But hey, thanks, Alu, for the call tonight, man. I appreciate it. The number here is 603-283-6160. We got hour number two on the way, and national divorce is in the news.
Do you ever get the feeling that the world is being held together with duct tape? Every day we're thrown some new meaningless drama in the fake news to distract us from the reality we're all about to face. Between the government trying to print their way out of debt, military conflicts, the disintegration of our most trusted institutions, and a looming food shortage, preparedness is no longer a choice. It's a necessity. You can trust My Patriot Supply. Our emergency food kits come packed with tasty meals, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit for each person in your family. Self-reliance is the only alternative to government food lines. Time is running out. Become ungovernable. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and save on dozens of different emergency food kits while you can. These kits are in stock, ship fast, and arrive in unmarked boxes for your privacy. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com before the next crisis strikes. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track, not with the government, or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and Save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.